Rule number 7. First impressions are very important. The thing is, I probably should have asked Brittany if she had any tips on how to keep our house from being sold. I'm sure she'd have had a plan for that, too. It's just that it probably would have involved setting the place on fire. And I still wanted to be able to actually live in my house. So that was no good. Instead, I had to concentrate on making up my own plan. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but somehow I had to keep our current, perfectly nice house from selling to somebody else so that Mom and Dad would have no choice but to sell the horrible new house to someone else. I had learned enough about real estate in the past few weeks from having hung around listening to Mom talk on the phone to Mrs. Klinghoffer to know that we couldn't afford to own two houses at the same time, at least not for very long. So the obvious thing to do was keep our one good house from being sold. Then Mom and Dad would have no choice but to sell the new house. I realize this might sound unfair, but you know what's really unfair? Buying a haunted house with a disembodied hand in the attic without even consulting your children about it. Mrs. Klinghoffer had already said that it all boiled down to what happened at the open house this coming weekend. An open house is when the people who have a house for sale open it up to the public, and anyone who wants to can come traipsing through it, poking around in every single room, looking through everyone's stuff, and deciding whether or not they want to live there. Yeah, anybody. Total strangers looking through my stuff. Mom said no one would be looking at my stuff. She said everyone would be looking at the house, like measuring the square footage and checking out the water heater and things like that. But if that's true, why did she make us clean our rooms better than we've ever cleaned them before in our lives? Why did we have to sort our toys into two piles, toys we want to keep and toys we never play with anymore? And why did she take the toys we never play with anymore to Goodwill to reduce clutter? And okay, it's true. I've sort of outgrown my Polly Pocket Pollywood Rockin' theme park playset. But that doesn't mean I want some other kid I've never met to have it. At least she didn't make me throw my rocks out. Yet. But that time is coming soon. I can tell. I can't even vacuum around them, Mom said, complaining about all the paper bags sitting on the bottom of my closet. Allie, this is ridiculous. You can't just have 10 bags of rocks sitting on the floor. You're going to have to get rid of them, Allie.
You said when we move, I pointed out, and we haven't moved yet.
I've hired professional carpet cleaners, Mom said. How are they going to shampoo under 10 sacks of rocks? Allie, you have to move these. Can't you at least put them on a shelf or something?
Actually, Mom asking me to put my rocks on a shelf made me think of something. Well, that and the fact that people would be poking around on the day of the open house, looking through our stuff. So I did what Mom asked. I borrowed her stepladder from the garage, and I moved each sack of rocks very, very carefully. All I had to do was remember to move them again after the carpet cleaners left so they'd be in the perfect spot for the open house. But I had plenty of things to worry about in the meantime. One of them was that Mom and Dad had scheduled an appointment at our new school, Pine Heights Elementary, for us to meet our new teachers. They were coming to pick us up in the middle of the school day. I was going to miss my favorite subject, science. I was pretty mad about that. But mostly, I was nervous. What if I didn't like Pine Heights Elementary? What if I didn't like my new teacher? They still didn't even know for sure who my teacher was going to be. Mrs. Hunter, Erica's teacher, or the other one, Mrs. Danielson. So I was going to meet both of them. Apparently, there are more kids in the fourth grade in the Pine Heights area than there were in any other grade, and they weren't sure which class they'd be able to fit me into. While I was waiting for Mom and Dad to come pick me up, though, an even worse thought occurred to me. What if the fourth graders at Pine Heights Elementary School didn't like me? It wasn't totally impossible. At least two fourth graders in my current class, Scott Stampley and my own ex-best friend, already didn't like me. It could totally happen. This made me so nervous that I sort of started feeling like I might throw up. You know, I said when Mom and Dad arrived to pick Mark and me up for our school visit. Kevin was already with them. I've been thinking it over, and if Pine Heights really can't squeeze me in, I'm fine with just staying in Walnut Knolls.
Nice try,
Dad said, totally unsympathetic to my situation.
Get in the car.
We drove to the new house and parked in the driveway there.
Because, Mom said, your new school is so close. You can walk there. We thought we'd show you the way.
Cool, Mark said, picking up an acorn that had fallen off one of the huge trees in our front yard and throwing it at a bird, which of course had the good sense to fly away long before the acorn came anywhere close. Dad, I said, because as a future veterinarian, I cannot tolerate even potential cruelty to animals.
Mark,
Dad said. I knew that acorn wouldn't hit that bird, Mark said.
Let's all try to have a nice time together, Dad said, and not throw anything.
Which was very easy for Dad to say. He didn't have to worry about a bunch of fourth graders potentially hating him.
Have you ordered the Velvet Pirate wallpaper for my new room yet?
Kevin wanted to know.
We're working on it, honey, Mom said. What if it was just pirate wallpaper and not velvet?
I'll die, Kevin said.
Oh, look at that house,
Mom said, pointing at a huge house across the street.
Look at the gingerbread trim around the porch. Isn't that beautiful?
It's amazing how your parents can concentrate on things like gingerbread trim when their children's lives are potentially going down the drain right before their very eyes. Pine Heights Elementary did turn out to be close to the new house. Too close, if you ask me. Way too close to give the butterflies in my stomach a chance to go down. Only two streets away, and they weren't even busy streets. Like, you didn't even need to wait for a crossing guard to help you cross them. There was no chance of getting hit by a car while skateboarding without a helmet and having your brain splattered everywhere on those streets. Because there were no cars. But that didn't exactly make Pine Heights Elementary a very nice school. I mean, maybe it was nice if you like super old buildings, like my mom does. But if you actually had to go to school there, and you were used to things at your old school, such as, a cafeteria that was not also the gym and was not also the school auditorium, well, that was not something you would find at Pine Heights Elementary School, where the cafeteria tables slid up into the wall to make room for kids to play basketball when it was time for gym class, and where, later on, someone would set up a lot of folding chairs for when it was time to watch a play on the stage, over which also hung one of the basketball nets. Also, Pine Heights Elementary School was very dark, just like our new house, having been built around the same time, practically. Also, Pine Heights Elementary School smelled funny. And even though the principal, Mrs. Jenkins, was very nice and said they were doing everything they could to find a space for me in one of the fourth grade classrooms, I didn't like her office, which had a red-headed boy in it who was there because he was in trouble for something, who knows what, but he looked pretty scared. Probably because Mrs. Jenkins kills you if you get sent to her office, unlike the principal back at my old school, Mrs. Grant, who asks you if everything is all right at home, then gives you a piece of licorice and sends you back to class, which is pretty bad since one of my rules is licorice is gross. But that's not as bad as killing you. I had to spend a lot of time with Mrs. Jenkins because my mom ended up going with Kevin to kindergarten and Mark ended up going with my dad to the second grade. And Mrs. Jenkins said,
I'll take Allie upstairs and introduce her to Mrs. Danielson and Mrs. Hunter then, if that's all right with you.
And my mom and dad said, that sounds great. Even though I shot them both looks saying, don't leave me alone with her. But as usual, they ignored me. This happens a lot when you're the oldest. Your parents just assume you can take care of yourself. Except when you go over to your new friend's house without telling them where you're going first, of course. So then, I had to talk to Mrs. Jenkins all the way up the long stairs, which at my old school, we don't even have. We have ramps, which was pretty hard because her knees were creaking so loud they sounded like bags of potato chips being crumpled up inside her pants, and I couldn't really hear what she was saying. When we got to the first fourth grade class and Mrs. Jenkins said,
this is room 208, Mrs. Danielson's class.
I was really shocked.
because when she threw open the door and I peeked my head inside, what I saw looked like a classroom from a television show about life on the prairie or something, not a modern-day classroom. I mean, sure, it had big windows that looked over the playground, which had swing sets and a jungle gym and a baseball diamond, which my dad had pointed out with a wink we could use as our personal baseball diamond anytime we wanted, even when school wasn't in session, since there was no fence around the grounds, and a chalkboard and everything. And okay, the kids weren't wearing pantaloons or anything, but they were sitting at these old-fashioned desks that had lids that lifted up in which they kept all their stuff. They didn't even have lockers at Pine Heights Elementary School. And Mrs. Danielson was wearing her hair in a bun. And she had on a very boring gray pantsuit instead of something modern. Worse, she had decorated her classroom with thought bubbles, like the kind that come out of cartoon characters' heads. Inside the thought bubbles were words about where stories come from. And the words said things like, stories come from ideas, and ideas come from brainstorming, and after brainstorming comes outlining, and good outlines come from good note cards, and only after your note cards are in good order can you begin to write your story. Things like that take all the fun out of writing stories. Things like that make me want to skateboard on High Street with no helmet on. Mrs. Danielson was teaching a lesson on photosynthesis. We'd done photosynthesis last month. How behind were the kids at Pine Heights Elementary? And for a class that was learning about photosynthesis for the first time, the kids in room 208 certainly looked bored, which didn't make any sense, because photosynthesis, the process by which green plants and some other organisms use sunlight to process foods from carbon dioxide and water, is super interesting, not boring at all. Unless it is being taught in a boring way. When she saw me and Mrs. Jenkins there in the doorway, Mrs. Danielson laid down her chalk and asked, "May I help you?"
"Oh, hello, Mrs. Danielson," Mrs. Jenkins said. "This is Allie Finkel. She might be joining your class in a few weeks." "Well, I don't know where she's going to sit," Mrs. Danielson said, with a laugh that I have to admit sounded kind, if a little Wicked Witch of the Westish. "We're a bit crowded here, but she'll be very welcome, of course."
I wasn't sure I liked the sound of that, the not knowing where I was going to sit part. I looked out at the sea of unfamiliar faces that made up Mrs. Danielson's fourth grade class. Sure, their teacher might welcome me, but what about her students? They didn't look particularly friendly to me. In fact, they looked downright mean, which made sense in light of the thought bubbles. Then I realized why they were all looking at me. They were waiting for me to say something. This made the butterflies in my stomach turn into pterodactyls. "Oh," I said, "maybe they thought I was the one who wasn't very friendly. First impressions are very important, you know. That's a rule. You can never make a second first impression. Also a rule. I saw it on TV." I didn't know what to say. I couldn't believe it. Here it was, my one chance to make a good first impression, and I was already blowing it. Thank you. Great. My one chance to make a good first impression, and I said, "Thank you?" All the kids just stared at me. This wasn't helping the pterodactyls in my stomach any.
"Well," Mrs. Jenkins said, "we'll let you get back to your lesson. Sorry for the interruption." "That's all right," Mrs. Danielson said, with a smile that didn't go all the way to her eyes. After that, to my relief, Mrs. Jenkins pulled me away.
The next room, 209, was Mrs. Hunter's room. Mrs. Hunter was Erica's teacher, and sure enough, when Mrs. Jenkins opened the door to Mrs. Hunter's classroom, which was exactly like Mrs. Danielson's, only no one in it looked at all bored, and we peeked in, I saw that Erica's head was one of the many that turned in my direction. When she recognized me, Erica squealed and waved.
"Hi, Allie,"
she whispered, smiling. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to make a good impression, but I wasn't sure if it was okay to wave back in front of everyone. What if Mrs. Hunter got mad? But I didn't want Erica to think I didn't like her.
I settled for waving to Erica very small and smiling while I also paid attention to Mrs. Hunter, who was the total opposite of Mrs. Danielson. Her hair wasn't in a bun. It was actually cut short, but very stylishly. And Mrs. Hunter wasn't in a pantsuit either. She was wearing a very short skirt with knee-high boots with high heels. She looked really, really modern and nice. And her classroom wasn't decorated with thought bubbles, telling you that you couldn't start a story until you had brainstormed, made an outline, and gotten your note cards ready. Her classroom was decorated with moons, clouds, and stars. And on the stars, it said things like, "Reach for the stars." And on the clouds, it said things like, "Every cloud has a silver lining." And on the moons, it said things like, "I like to think the moon is there, even if I'm not looking at it." Albert Einstein. I could tell right away that this was a much better classroom to be in than room 208. I could also tell that if I had to be in any classroom in the world other than Ms. Myers's, this was the one I wanted to be in.
"Well," Mrs. Jenkins said, "I see that someone in this class has already made her acquaintance."
She meant, I realized, Erica. I could feel myself turning red with embarrassment.
"But for the rest of you, and you, Mrs. Hunter, this is Allie Finkel, a fourth grader who may be joining your class in a few weeks." "It's very nice to meet you, Allie Finkel," Mrs. Hunter said.
When she smiled, she looked even prettier than Ms. Myers, which I didn't even know was possible.
"Are you moving to the neighborhood?"
"Yes," Erica cried before I had a chance to say anything. "She's moving in next door to me." "Great. Why can't I ever make a normal first impression?"
"Well," Mrs. Hunter said, smiling at me some more, "that's nice. We look forward to having you join us."
I didn't want to get anyone's hopes up, though, especially not Mrs. Hunter's, seeing how nice she was being. "Well," I said, "I don't know." Mrs. Hunter looked confused.
"You don't know if you'll be joining us?" "I did tell her," Mrs. Jenkins said with a cough, "that both the fourth grade classes are a bit full right now, so we're not sure exactly where she'll end up."
"No," I said, even though it's not polite to correct a grown-up. That's a rule. "I mean, we might not be moving."
"Oh?" Mrs. Hunter said.
Mrs. Jenkins said,
"That's not what your parents said to me downstairs, Allie."
"Right," I said. "But, well, see, we haven't sold our old house yet. And if things go the way I have planned, with the for sale sign and my rocks, we might end up not selling it and moving after all." But I didn't say that out loud.
"I see," Mrs. Hunter said. "Well, I really hope you do. We'd love to have you here in room 209. We're having story time right now, a little thing we like to do right before recess. I know fourth graders are a little old for story time, but they seem to enjoy it, don't you, class?"
"Yes," chimed the class. They certainly seemed to be liking story time more than Mrs. Danielson's class was enjoying learning about photosynthesis, judging from their non-bored expressions.
"We're reading from A Wrinkle in Time," Mrs. Hunter said, waving a copy of the book she had in her hands. "It's one of my favorites."
I just stared at her. I didn't really know what to say, because A Wrinkle in Time was one of my favorites, too. From somewhere behind the principal and me, a bell jangled, loud and old-timey sounding. Then a door flew open. The next thing I knew, students were streaming out into the hallway.
"Time for recess," Mrs. Hunter said, slipping off the stool she was sitting on. "Class, please get your coats and then get into your lines."
Mrs. Hunter's fourth grade class scooted back their chairs, then raced to grab their coats from hooks on the wall opposite the windows. Then they got into two separate lines in front of the doorway where they waited, giggling, until Mrs. Hunter said,
"Well, go on."
Then they ran from the classroom, all except Erica, who lagged behind and asked, "Can Allie come with us?" I looked at Mrs. Jenkins, who glanced at her watch, then nodded.
"I'll let your parents know where you are."
"Come on," Erica cried, grabbing my sleeve. I didn't bother asking Erica where we were going. I knew from past experience that wherever it was going to be an adventure, possibly involving cut-off body parts. And I wasn't wrong. Erica led me down the stairs and out of the building, across the gravel schoolyard, and toward the baseball diamond, where some of the kids had started up a game of kickball. At first, I thought we were going to join them. But to my surprise, Erica led us past the game and toward some bushes that grew alongside a high brick wall that separated the school grounds from the backyards of some houses next door to it. I thought Erica would stop when we got to the bushes, but the next thing I knew, she was ducking down and crawling straight into them. "Hey," I said, putting on the brakes, "what are you doing?" "It's okay," Erica said, looking back at me over her shoulder. "Follow me." I hadn't sensed that Erica might be crazy when I was playing at her house the other day. But what did I know? I don't know that many people. My mom is always saying my Uncle Jay is crazy. But that's just because he spends all of his money on stereo equipment instead of normal things, like dinner. I looked around the playground. All of the other kids were running around, playing kickball or swinging on swings. None of the rest of them were crawling into bushes. The bushes were so thick, I couldn't see Erica once she was inside them. Who knew what was going on in there? Maybe she was a murderer, and she was standing inside with an axe, and if I crawled in there after her, she'd chop off my head. I saw that in a movie Uncle Jay and I watched once. On the other hand, we'd had a really nice time playing with her dollhouse, and she hadn't murdered me then. "Allie?" I heard Erica's voice float out from the bushes. "Are you coming?" I decided to risk it. It seemed highly doubtful Erica was a murderer. And what if there was something really cool back there and I missed it? I ducked down and crawled into the bushes after her. When I came out the other side, I was surprised to see that the bushes only went on for a little while, and then you burst out into all this open space and could stand up and walk around. What the bushes did was, they acted as a kind of privacy screen, so that from the playground, what you couldn't see was that, really, there was all this room between the bushes and the brick wall. So you had this little private alley, practically all to yourself, with a beautiful rooftop of golden autumn leaves over it from the trees in the yards next door as their branches drooped overhead. Only Erica and I didn't have the alley all to ourselves, I saw to my surprise. Because there were these other two girls standing there, looking at me. It was another opportunity I saw for me to make a first impression. My stomach reacted again by getting all nervous. "Hi," said one of the girls who was tall and skinny. "Hi," said the other girl who was short and round. "Allie," Erica said, "these are my friends, Caroline and Sophie. They're in Mrs. Hunter's class too." "Hi," I said, recognizing them now from room 209. Caroline was the tall, skinny one. Sophie was the short, round one. "I'm Allie Finkel." "We know," Caroline said. Caroline didn't smile. She seemed very serious. "Erica already told us all about you. She said you like ballet. Also, cats and baseball." "Yes," I said, "I do. But I see you guys play kickball here." "Yeah," Sophie said. "That's just at recess, because there was a problem with some people throwing bats, so Mrs. Jenkins took them all away. Now, we can only play kickball." "Oh," I said. I thought this was pretty smart of Mrs. Jenkins. Also, that this was a policy that ought to be implemented at my school. "Erica also said you have a big imagination," Caroline went on. "That's why we said it was okay for her to bring you here. We only tell people about this place if they have a big imagination. If they don't, they can't see how magic it is." I looked around. "I can see how magic it is, all right," I said admiringly. "I wish we had a place like this at my school. What are you guys doing here? Play like it's a fort?" "Actually," Erica said excitedly, "we play like it's a castle." "Cool," I said, because it did look a lot like a castle with the bricks and all. "And you guys pretend to be princesses?" "Queens," Sophie said, looking disgusted. "Princesses don't have any power." "Right," Caroline said. She was starting to look less serious and more excited. "We're queens. You can be one too if you want." Usually, we play that an evil warlord wants to marry Sophie because she's so beautiful. Sophie smiled modestly at this when I looked at her, but with her curly brown hair and pink lips, she did look beautiful. So it really could be true. Okay, I said. Only she won't have him because she's pledged her heart to another, Caroline went on. So we've barricaded ourselves in our castle, and the evil warlord is attacking us, and we're readying ourselves for battle. Yeah, Erica said happily. We're going to pour boiling oil on his forces. Cool, I said again, the butterflies in my stomach finally going away. I was happy to have found girls who played such a neat game at recess. At Walnut Knolls Elementary, the new game Brittany Hauser was trying to get everyone to play was cheerleader, teaching anyone who would listen cheers she had learned from her big sister, Becca. We played queens until the bell rang, which happened before we even got to launch the catapult full of the heads of the warlord's army, which we had cut off with our pretend scimitars. Aw, Erica said. I can't believe we have to go in. That was fun. Are you staying for lunch, Allie? No, I said, because I could see my parents and Mark and Kevin standing by one of the side doors, looking around for me. I think I have to go. Well, I hope you're going to be in our class, Caroline said. Yeah, Sophie said. I hope you don't get stuck in boring Danielson's class. That would stink. That would stink, I said, thinking of the thought bubbles. I was kind of shocked, but I was starting to find myself getting excited by the idea of going to Pine Heights, which was crazy. I didn't want to move. Zombie hand. Horrible dark bedroom. Well, it was nice to meet you guys, I said just as Mom and Dad spotted me and started waving like crazy, like they thought there was a chance I might miss them or something, which wasn't likely since they were the tallest people on the playground, outside of the teachers. But I better go. Bye, Allie, Sophie called as she went to join the line to go back into the school. Yeah, see you later, Allie, Caroline said. Bye, Allie, see you on our street, Erica called, hurrying off with her friends. I went over to join my family instead of all the kids filing back into school. It was weird, though. I didn't really want to.
Well, Mom said, looking pleased, I see you made some new friends.
Yes, I said. They're in Erica's class with Mrs. Hunter.
And what did you think of Mrs. Hunter?
Dad wanted to know. I started to say that I thought Mrs. Hunter was the nicest, prettiest teacher in the whole world. Nicer even than Ms. Myers. But fortunately, Mark cut me off.
My new teacher, he said, is so cool. Mr. Manx, he has 7 newts in a terrarium in class. Well, there used to be 8, but one got eaten by the others. Anyway, he let me feed them. Newts eat anything that moves that can fit in their mouths. I fed them a cricket.
That is disgusting, I burst out, glad for the distraction from how much I liked this school. The poor cricket.
It's the circle of life, Mark said matter-of-factly. The newts eat the cricket, and then poop him out, and then the poop becomes fertilizer, and then...
Kevin, Mom said quickly, what did you think of your class?
Not much, Kevin said.
We had started walking home by then. Home? I mean, to the new house.
That school isn't very fancy.
You only like things if they're fancy, Mark said disgustedly.
It may not be as new as your school in Walnut Knolls, Dad said, but it's a very good school.
But it smells old, Kevin complained, and it looks old.
Right as Kevin said this, our new house loomed into view, with its dark windows and creepy trees with their black branches scraping against the sky. And I realized Kevin was right. He may only have been 5, but he'd reminded me of something important. That just because I'd liked Mrs. Hunter and Erica's friends didn't mean I wanted to move. I couldn't move. I wasn't ready to give up my old friends and my old school and my old house. Not to move into a new house that was falling down so badly they wouldn't have even let it on Please Fix Up My House. That was also, by the way, haunted. No way. I don't think we can get as good an education at Pine Heights as we can in Walnut Knolls, I said.
Allie, Mom cried, don't be ridiculous. Of course you can. How can you even say that?
Because of the zombie hand, I wanted to say. and I knew I had to forget about Mrs. Hunter and reach for the stars and the secret castle and the game of queens. I had to forget about Erica and Caroline and Sophie. I had to harden my heart against them because the important thing was that I had to keep us from moving. Lives were at stake. I hated Pine Heights, I lied. I hated it a lot.
Allie, Mom said, sounding hurt. We met Mrs. Hunter. She seemed really nice. I know the principal is doing everything she can to get you into her class.
She is? I didn't mean to sound hopeful. I mean, I don't care.
And you seem to like those girls we saw you with at recess,
Dad said. Yeah, I said with a shrug. They were okay.
What about your kitten? Mom asked. Don't you want a kitten anymore?
That was the thing. Of course I still wanted a kitten, more than anything. Every time anyone said the word kitten, my heart gave a pang. But was having a kitten worth suffering the fate of the zombie hand? No. No, 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 and also no. And I couldn't let nice, pretty teachers and fun new girls distract me from the fact that I still had a war to win. The war on my family moving.